This is RSPNB Update, episode 371, recorded Friday, July 27th, 2012. Put a cork in it. Hello, everybody. I'm back for this episode of RSPNB Update. Trekkie's here also.
I have never seen Shane so happy to be on the podcast.
Yeah, well, I've been waiting to do this show for a few days now. I realized that after I posted the questions that I get to come back and talk to you all this week. So we're going to do that. But before we get going, I won't mention what I've been doing. We'll save that for later, but credit goes out to Uncle Dano and Paul for helping Drecky keep this thing together while I've been gone. That's true, isn't it?
What?
That Uncle Dano and Paul helped you out greatly.
Yes, yes. Grino was a great help because he brought the older person view, you know, Grandpa RuneScaper. And Paul brought all the technical aspect of it. And I just like, all right. You two talk. You two mingle. I'll go get some tea.
Yeah, and you just guided them, right?
If you say so.
All right. So, from the sounds of it, I missed quite a bit, but I haven't gone back and listened to your shows that you did. So I don't know whether you made the audio quality sound good or bad. I'm just trusting that you did what you needed to do. Now, there's a couple of updates this week I'm going to ask you about. What was going in the past, but first, let's just get going with the Gielinor Games.
Olympic knockoff.
You got your eardrums blasted out.
Yes. Oh, yes, I did. The evil voices of RuneScape. And I don't know where those voices came from, but either they were God or I was hallucinating.
Yeah, you know, they sound like one of those old announcers that you hear in the 1930s using one of those old horrible microphones. That's what I thought of when I heard this. And they're supposed to be goblins, demons, and whatnot, but they just sound like people. They don't sound like a goblin or a demon or whatever the heck it's supposed to be, a troll.
There was a troll?
There was a troll. One of them was supposed to be a troll.
They all sounded like Americans trying to act British.
Or that, yeah. I mean, I think they did a better job with Felipe's voice in that quest.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the voiceover does, in this case, didn't really add much to the experience for me. Anyway,
it actually scared me because I had my volume on relatively high. And next thing I hear is, "What? Oh my God! What was that?" At first, I thought it was coming from you because we were on Skype at the time after trying to fix something up, and I thought it was coming from your side or something. Then I was like, "Oh, okay, it's from this game. Let's do it."
Okay.
They're like kind of like the annoying announcer in a game that every time you get on a mine, tell you don't step on the mine. And it's like, yes, I know not to step on the mine. Shut up.
You know, head to head is against NPCs, but cheese rolling is with other players. Now, you were going to do the other two. Are they against NPCs or other players?
The resource collection one is mostly against people, but when I went there, there wasn't any people except for me, so I just like, all right, I got free reign.
Okay.
I think there's only three, wasn't there? Because I didn't see the fourth one.
Yeah, Marathon. Apparently that one only happens every so often. And hey, are you in a zoo or something? Sounds like you got wild animals.
That's Emily screaming for something.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Well, Emily, stay quiet before I hit you with the bat. Good point.
Right. And then they say, you might want to turn on your audio too, as there are commentators that will throw some cheesy puns your way while you're avoiding the cows and gathering herbs. Yeah, I agree.
They needed to stitch their mouths. You sounded like an old man who can't find his teeth.
Okay, maybe. But what did you think of your events that you competed in?
Well, there wasn't anything to compete with. It was only me, but it was okay. The one I had was to chop trees down, and depending on which one you chop, is how many points you get. But well, it's relatively easy. It's just one of those. Basically, you're fighting against other people for the resource.
Okay. And you couldn't do marathon because that doesn't run at all times. Okay. Head-to-head, I like that one because I've always liked chance games, and you're essentially running a 100-meter dash by just pulling random Missing. Cards, and then you get, what do they call, weaknesses, and then they propel you ahead a bit, and the goal is, of course, to come in first, and you do that by choosing cards based on what you have and using them strategically to push other people back and push yourself ahead.
Oh, I had a bad run when I went there. I kept getting the ones that affected me in a negative way. I was like, I don't need this.
On second and third games, but on the first game I came in first by one pace.
Oh, that's why I on my game. I just managed to sneak by the gold one because I got the one that slows everybody down but you. I won by exactly half a pace.
You know, the one good thing about head-to-head, is that if you wanted to, you could take video and you could get yourself running on the spot. So, it's just too bad we don't have track clothes to go along with it. You know, you're running in full armor, which really isn't convincing.
Well, unless you're Spartan.
I guess.
Then you can
I haven't bought any of the rewards yet for this thing.
I'm not going to bother. I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's
have
all
4 weeks
more clothes to purchase them. We don't need it.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could store these somewhere, you know?
Do you have a bank space? Do you have bank space in your bank?
Yeah, I have about 10 spots, but it's running away rather quickly.
Got about 4.
Yeah, so of course we can't purchase these things. We need more bank space or the ability to put them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It would be nice if they had a wiki page on the rewards because, you know, it just doesn't seem as though the rewards are front and center of this. They're trying to put everything on the games, when in result, the games are not that great.
I don't know. It's sort of for me to say that. I mean, the game is just more for fun. It's a little bit distractions minigame. So the whole point is, like, you know, you'll feel like doing anything. Here's what you can do just to mess around for a little bit. I mean, they give you experience in each one. It's not like a whole lot,
that's
but,
true.
You know, you're doing fun.
How much agility XP did you get for the head-to-head?
I don't remember. I think it was like 13K, but I think I'm exaggerating.
And what's your agility level?
85.
Okay.
So, head-to-head gives you agility experience, cheese roll gives you defense, and that game is kind of stupid, and resource gives you in either woodcutting, mining, and there's one more thing, crafting.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me double check. It was mining, farming, and or woodcutting. There you go.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the rewards, and you can get, like, the athlete set, either bronze, silver, or gold. The athlete title. A Mexican wave emote? What is a Mexican wave?
I'm thinking it's, you know, do the wave in the stadium.
Oh, okay. Why is that called Mexican wave, though?
I don't know. They're trying to be politically correct.
There's also the sportsman emote.
they are wet, you know, they're not on the border of Mexico, so I don't know. Only Californians in Nevada and probably Arizona would get that. Oh, and Texas too.
Yeah. But JX is in the UK, so don't get that. Anyways, that's a Gale on our games. I have a feeling people will be taking in the Real Olympic Games much more so than the Gale on our games, but in any case,
will occur in
go
about,
pick up your...
Which will happen about, well, it's actually happening right now, I believe, but
yeah,
the will come on TV for another couple hours here.
But they're 7 hours ahead, so it
well,
should already be happening.
Yeah, but usually
they
don't broadcast
this in
the
afternoon
nighttime.
On Friday. Oh, well, that's stupid. They should be broadcasting it at the actual time. Who cares if people can't get up?
It's not people not to think people cannot get up. It's the whole, you know, TV scheduling.
I know, but the Olympic Games, they should preempt everything.
But you don't care for the Olympic Games, Shane.
Yes, I do.
You said so last time you don't give a you don't give two junks.
I said
about
I didn't
Olympics.
Give a damn about the China Olympics.
Why?
Because it's in China.
So?
All right. I'm just checking my TV here. Let's see when the Gale on our games are on TV.
Gale on our games are on TV?
Yep. Let's see what we want. CTV Edmonton. Started at 2 p.m. The opening ceremonies. So CTV is showing them. I don't know why NBC wouldn't be.
Because I'm just here, stupid.
Greece leading the Parade of Nations.
They always lead. That's the point.
Well, of course.
They invented
they're Greek.
They invented it. That's why they're first. And it's the it goes by alphabetical order, and whoever is the host nation is at the end. Okay, Shane, why are you watching the economics?
Yeah, I just wanted to check if our Canadian channel was doing it right. Anyway,
it's never live. Not for
it
here,
is
anyway.
Live.
For here. Us, it, but... They always do it at nighttime because that's when everybody comes home from work. I'll say it's live every single night, but it's never live because we're way behind Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. All right. Sorry for that slight diversion there. I'm not giving much hope to Canada in the Summer Olympics. We really excel at the Winter Olympics.
Do you guys
I'm predicting we'll finish 11th position in overall medal count. Anyways, tweaks and fixes. There is now a slider to adjust the level of camera zoom found in the graphical options. You know, I read this when I logged in, but I didn't actually look at it. Did you?
No, I did not. Is this when you're in your little store thing, or
I don't know. As far as I know, like it sounds like it's the actual game, which would be strange. But
no, there's no slider for the actual game. But I'm thinking it's probably maybe in the booth or maybe in the camera when you're doing the orb.
That could be it. I'm just going to log in quickly and have a look. That's what you get when you check out updates at 4 a.m. You forget to do what you meant to do initially. But also with this, several skills have been updated to their Make-X interface so that it only makes one if you only have the ingredients for one, which is good. Come on, load.
You gotta
Did
patch
they make
up
the game
first,
load
eh?
Slower. No, it was already patched. All right, graphics settings, camera zoom. Ooh.
Someone enjoys looking at their big fat head.
Ooh, you can. So the default You can zoom in more than you used to be able to. That's a really nice option.
Are you seeing all your wrinkles?
No, but it's just really nice. That's nice.
All right, Shane, nice. Come on. Come on back to the real world.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when you've been away from the game for 2 weeks. Based on feedback, they made several more changes to Fish Flingers. They've changed the requirements for medals and tokens so that catching big fish and assisting others in doing so is much more rewarding. You can now hold 10 tokens at a time. What was it before? I forget.
I don't remember.
Okay. They've also changed how the scores are displayed so they more closely reflect the XP earned, although the actual XP hasn't changed. And there are many more fixes in the release notes as we were gazing over when we read these. So, straight on from that, the release notes for the week. Anything jump out at you?
Nah, not really. So Squeal fixes, but nothing really, really big. According to Treasure Trail, at the abandoned camp has to move slightly to point at the middle of a wall. And yeah, everything else is just like, oh, we'll just fix this here and there. Mostly graphical updates.
The Squeal of Fortune one that you mentioned, the Squeal of Fortune will no longer occasionally open the claim reward screen instead of the spin screen with an unclaimable 200 million coin prize.
Yeah, how rich do you have to be to leave 200 million coins sitting there?
I don't know, but I know people that have bought a 400 spin pack did not actually get this. So, it's pretty rare.
Yeah, as I said, it's not random. If it was random, we'll get them. You'll get a rare every once in a while.
Alright. So, shall we move on to the Sizzling Summer?
Ah, yes, the brand new way, the new items.
Yeah, so they announced this last week with you guys. What did you think of it?
Well, I had assumed probably some kind of weapon, as most other people. Mr. Daniel was the one that suggested it might be something different with lore or something else. I don't think any of us really expected this. I want to read off first, and then we'll talk more into it.
Okay, so as you guys know, anyone who's a member throughout August and September will receive their summer goodies, including a total of over 1 million XP, 91 additional bonus wins on spins on the Squeal of Fortune, and add to this new customization items and a 5-piece Tropical Islander outfit. All of this totals $45, I say.
And 95 cents.
So, now you guys were wondering what this was going to be. There's going to be four of them that you're able to choose from. And they say you're going to be able to choose four in total. So, I guess you can choose one of each or four of the same
No, you choose only one. You only choose, out of these selection of four, you can choose one and the other three you will not get.
But it says, members who, for the entire Sizzling Summer, will be able to choose a total of four of the following rewards. So it sounds like you choose four, but you only choose one, you're saying?
Yeah, you probably only choose one. That's what I said last week. Unless they have a typo here that it did not fix.
Well, maybe it's just a typo then. But what you'll be able to choose is Dodging Death. So this lets you come back from the dead, respawn with all your gear intact, and your life points fully charged. This one will not work in... This cannot be used in PvP, all of these, except for obviously. The deposit box. The emergency healing box. Anyone who consumes the healing box will be healed instantly and restored to max life points. Better still, become a lifesaver and use your healing box on a friend or clan member to heal them instead. Okay. The insta-kill dart. You're fighting for your life in the God Wars dungeon. Your health is low and you chugged your last Sarah Rue, but your foe isn't letting up. The answer is here. The insta-kill dart will kill whatever target you face with one almighty hit. Wonder if you could use this with Jad.
Jad? Jadinka? I mean, not Jad.
No! The Jad, okay. The fire cape Jad, yeah.
You can try it if you want, but Considering he has two forms, I'm wondering if you have to kill that form before you move on to the other one.
Yeah, maybe.
But
and then of course,
I would rather I want to use it on the queen black dragon just to say I killed her. Yay!
There's also the remote deposit box, so you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, need to empty your backpack quickly, use the remote deposit box, and voila! For 5 minutes, any player can use the deposit box to send items back to their bank.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the USS Azura, isn't it?
Okay. First Star Trek reference of the week goes to you.
Someone had to
bring this. Did you guys make any Star Trek references while I was gone?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
Maybe one or two, but that was it. Mostly STO related, though. It's mostly to compare the general store and some of the game updates that RuneScape was doing.
All right.
People were not very happy with the general store.
Yeah, I gathered that, and I have my own set of thoughts on that, too. But we won't share that here. So, moving on.
You can read more on you can read Shane's article on the general store at rsbnb.com/informer.
I don't have an article on the general store. I did the first Squeal of Fortune, and it would be the same thing. And in 30 seconds, I can say that the general store is something I said that JX should come out with. They should come out with some kind of rune coin. They did, and you should be able to buy some kind of items with that that are will contribute to the gameplay, but not directly influence the game. So I'm happy with that. 30 seconds.
All right.
And speaking of Solomon and the Squeal for this, they say these items will never be available through Solomon's general store or the Squeal of Fortune. They'll also be untradeable.
Mm-hmm. It's a remote deposit box that cannot be used in PvP, which we stated. But considering there's only one use, there's not much incentive to really keep these things.
The only one that can be used in PvP is the remote deposit box.
Yeah, but anybody who tried, what are you going to try to do? Throw your stuff in it before you get hacked to pieces?
Well, yeah, given the fact
that you pick up all your armor, you won't really have time to dodge their attacks. And considering beta is coming out soon, you're more likely to get smashed, you know, double swords.
Yeah. But, you know, I think you get four choices because they say which items will you choose? One of each item, a mix, or four of the same one? The choice is yours.
Well, maybe they changed it from last week because remember last week they didn't choose from. But, well, anyway, basically it'll start in August all the way up to September. So stay a member for 1 month. Is it 1 month?
No. Yep, 2 months.
2 months. So stay a member for 2 months and you'll get these items and you can show off to all your other friends. I want to see if I killed the Queen Black Dragon and be done with it. Let's just say I did it.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing to do, eh?
Yeah. And so, So now, so anything else on this one, Shane?
No, I don't think so. So next up, 200 million at JX Studios. So this behind the scenes video showing their little party they had for 200 million accounts. And, you know, I know JX hasn't ever told us the exact numbers on bots and everything, but it would be nice to know how many there were because they said they've been counting down to this number for so long and they've wanted to get there for a long time. But I don't know. That just seems to be the big elephant in the room.
What, the bot stuff?
Yeah, with this. No one wants to mention it at JAGX, and everybody knows what the bot problem has been for the last 2 years or so. So it's like, why aren't we acknowledging that how many of these are real, you know? And how many of them are banned? Like, all people are asking for is a list of 200 million accounts total, how many have members, how many play the game actively, how many have been banned, and how many have been banned for botting. That's all people are asking for. And it wouldn't hurt to give that kind of breakdown, because we already know how much money JAGX makes per year based on their membership payments. So,
including ads and Squeal and Sloan and people.
Yeah, so. Anyways. So I just watched this video and see what their party was like. I don't know. Did you watch it?
I watched it. They spilled a lot of champagne everywhere, and they had a lot of people talking to the camera. And
they had Mudmark, MMG, lots of other important people that we've come to know over the years. So.
Oh, and do know that they do have mini competition to win some signed art. All you have to do is send them a mail about what Mudmark is doing to their website.
All right, so next up, the combat beta event, number 2. So this is what we were waiting for, the second beta event where we can get a piece of armor. All you need to do this week is go to the duel arena and participate in a fight. You want to fight me later?
I did that last time. I got my handed to me. Not good. I haven't really figured out how to use the combo system yet, and so far it's... I haven't really done much of it in the past couple of weeks because I've been busy with everything else. So I'm really touching the combat beta. I haven't even got any of the other parts of the outfit yet.
Well, there's only been one outfit part so far, and that was the first week for Castle Wars. So yeah. We're okay with that. And we did this before, and I don't see much point to play the combat beta aside from testing when they release new patches to it, because everything you do isn't going to be saved. So, I mean, why waste the time kind of thing, you know? So definitely I'll be logging into the beta this weekend to see what we can do with this. Come on, you should come with me to the duel arena after we're finished here.
I am at the duel arena.
Okay, well, we'll do that after we're done then.
I was still there. I just haven't moved anywhere yet. Still haven't figured out how to put my skill bar yet because I still have a little hard time switching in between the tabs.
Yeah, see, that's the reason I think that you should be able to have more than 12 up at a time is because 12 is not enough. You just need to just let people have a huge amount, and it'll make the experience a whole lot better for everyone. Anyways, more on the combat beta as it progresses. All right, now this next one's interesting to me because last week you said that bonus XP weekend is going away, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I have a feeling.
Go ahead. We talked about this, how the beta is going away, but they're substituting it with basically some new items that will stretch. That will give basically the same amount of experience, just at a longer stretch instead of buying 3-day events.
Yeah, and that's good because the bonus XP weekends always would cause havoc with the economy, even when it was a controlled economy. So I'm happy about that. But bonus XP weekend was always a nice event that you'd go to and you'd go runecrafting, But I'm glad that they're doing it this way. I'm guessing we didn't. Plan on seeing it this soon that we'd be seeing the pendants of skills.
Well, actually, they announced that they were going to do it within, early August.
Okay.
So, early August, that's when they're starting to introduce all these new items to give people a bonus experience.
So, essentially what's going on here, this weekend on the Squeal of Fortune, Yelps is offering an increased chance to grab one of these new pendants, and they give you a 3x XP boost for a specific skill. They come in two varieties, Pendants of Skill and the even juicier Prized Pendants of Skill. Pendants of Skill are double XP, and the prized ones are 3x XP. And they double the XP earned in their associated skill up to an amount of bonus XP equivalent to a large XP lamp. So we're not talking about the same 26 hours or... however, 11 hours that you could spend depleting your multiplier for that, which, some people are going to be upset about, but with Squeal of Fortune, who cares? You can just spin and get as many of these as you want. And, of course, it's dependent on the level of the skill that it's associated with. So, what do we think? Do you think... I think bonus XP weekend was a nicer idea, but it just caused too much trouble with the economy.
Actually, interestingly enough, as we talked about this last week, the last bonus weekend, there wasn't much difference to the economy. In fact, many of the items actually went down. I think it's the fact that, they're not introducing the summoning, so there wasn't a huge demand for summoning items to be used.
Yeah, but still, other items like consumables and whatnot for skills, I remember, did indeed show a negative trend to the health of the economy. So, I mean, it was less, but it wasn't as much as it was before. But I don't know. I'm betting that there are some people who are not going to be happy about this just because of the general attitude toward the squeal and everything, you know?
Yes. Well, knowing my luck, I won't get a single one anyway, so there's no point in me
trying.
Well,
you get increased chances because they're going to be on common squares this weekend.
Yeah. Remember last couple of weeks when they've been having squeals, like, supposed to give you a higher chance to get an item? I have not yet gotten one of those items. I keep getting 1,000 coins.
Oh, so that's why you're doubting.
Yes. I'm pretty sure they will not get rid of the 1,000 coin common slots. I'm going to get every single one. It's been happening that happened for the past 3 weeks.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this in any case. So, shall we move on to this other little piece here that I thought we should talk about?
Okay.
Well, I was reading earlier this week, and there was this blog posting by a fellow named Regicidal, and he is describing what exactly is going wrong in the RuneScape community. And this was, of course, spawned by this video on YouTube, one of the usual type of protest videos that we see. The video is called Two Jagex from the RuneScape Community, and it essentially is telling people that, hey, Jagex, we want something what the old RuneScape looked like. And, you know, quite frankly, this is not the answer, as was pointed to in this post by Regicidal. So, I'm just going to quote a few bit of what Regicidal had to say here. So he starts off by saying, a response to a question from someone, but Lee, don't you miss 2006? Don't you miss the community then? Then he replies back, of course I miss RuneScape during 2006 and 2007. Those were definitely the golden years of RuneScape, where everything was at a peak. The game, the community, and videos about RuneScape on YouTube were getting more popular. It was an amazing time period, and definitely time when I remember my best memories of RuneScape and YouTube video making about RuneScape. I've been a part of the community for over 7 years. I've watched this community change countless amounts of times. I'll never forget the people I met during that time, the videos I made during that time, the things I achieved during that time. I'll never forget logging in every day, either making a video or cutting magic logs with my friends, trying my best to bank up to 40 mil so I could afford my dream outfit, a dragon chain body with dragon plate legs, mime gloves, desert boots, a fury, and a white party hat. At the time, the dragon chain body was 25 million. A time where you had to go to World 2 to buy anything, from skilling supplies to the armor you fought with. This was the age that matured me into the young adult that I am now. I am learning how to deal with the people and drama, how to entertain a large amount of people, and how to be unique and an individual. Those were the days. I will cherish my memories from back in the day, but it's time to move on. And he goes on to say that anyone who thinks bringing a 2006 server to RuneScape, as how Classic is at the moment, will fix the community is extremely wrong. Also, anyone who blames Jagex for the community being the way it is now ridiculous. Want to know what would happen if Jagex released a 2006 to 2007 version of RuneScape? And he goes on to say what it would be like and how it really wouldn't affect anything. So, and then he goes on for a bit more regarding what happened in 2006, 2007, and how everything is now, and how, you know, for example, they don't even know what the evolution of combat will look like, and it's a beta, and they played for a month, and everyone thinks it's the end of RuneScape, which I disagree with. But then he goes on to his one of his final paragraphs here, and he says, the reason why the community is terrible is not because this isn't the 2006 version of the game, or because Jagex is ruining the community. It's because people have become lazy, greedy, and careless. He goes on to, of course, justify that. But that is the whole point of this article, in that the people who want RuneScape to be how it was in 2006 and 2007 isn't because of the way that Jagex is running it. It's because the community itself has changed. The community has, of course, become lazy with all the updates and everything that have made them that way. And people are just expecting things to go back how they were, but they can't. And ultimately, he closes off with, "Be the change you want to see in the community. Don't worry about returning it to the community in 2006 and 2007, because that will never happen and you will be continuously disappointed. Instead, worry about cleaning up the community we currently have and making the community as good as it can be. If you agree with my opinion on the community and you want to share it and you want to make a difference, instead of sharing that video around, share this blog post, send it to your friends, post it on forums, post it as a comment in response to luring videos, scamming videos, post it as a comment on the video I linked in the beginning of the post, post it on Twitter, post it on Facebook, reblog this post, show it to people who really want to change the community." So overall, I agree with Regicidal here in that the community itself needs to change, and it's not Jagex that's a problem. And the people who are left at the core of RuneScape, Regicidal, me, Trekkie, and you listeners out there who are in agreement that the community isn't in the right place, needs to look at this and realize that it's not the Jagex factor that's causing this. It's in fact the general widespread community that plays RuneScape, and we need to change their minds. So definitely have a read through the rest of this post. Link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Feel better, Shane?
Yeah. I didn't need to feel better. Do you? What do you think of this post?
Well, remember, as with any other country, it's a two-way thing. The government can only do so much. It's up to the people to actually make the difference.
Yep.
So
that's the thing.
You can't expect to, you know, it's like making a law and then suddenly everyone breaks it because no one cares. Well, the government has no power. Power is to the people, not to the government.
Exactly. And like I've told people before, if you're really not wanting to take care of the way the RuneScape is going, whether it be Squeal or Solomons or the community in general, and you don't want to be a positive change force, your only option is to quit the game and remove your $5 a month subscription fee. Otherwise, you're just further exacerbating the situation by giving Jagex money and being a negative impact on the community in game.
Mm-hmm. It just kind of reminds me of the whole Call of Duty phase that many PC people went through when they decided to get rid of dedicated servers and make it a whole migration hosting.
And it was kind of
funny how a lot of PC people, again, were really angry with it because of how they got rid of dedicated servers and they weren't really doing anything and telling people to not buy the game. And yet, it was one of the best-selling games on the PC, which is a sad fact.
And you know, people played it. And this goes back to the thing, and that's the reason I didn't buy Modern Warfare 2 on the PC, is because I wanted dedicated servers.
Mm-hmm. I didn't buy 2 or 3 because they got rid of dedicated servers. Even though the third one gave back dedicated servers, they were all off-rank, which is like, well, then what's the point? If I'm not leveling up, there's no point in me playing.
Yeah, exactly.
And, as you may remember, Shane, after the game came out, or was it before the game came out, it basically showed a bunch of people with the hacked version of the game, and they were, you know, noob tubing 24/7, flying around everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, not to turn this into a PC gaming discussion, but there did indeed end up being a hacked version of Call of Duty that persisted for a long time that was the version of Modern Warfare 2 that many people would play. And I'm assuming this is the same reason why people play private servers on RS.
Well, it's one of those things. If it works for them, go for it. But if something happens, you don't blame the creator.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, let's just share this post around, because I retweeted it on both of our Twitter accounts and everything, and I think it's something people definitely need to read. So go on, read the full thing, and if you like it, share it on, send it off to different places and everything. And let's see if this would actually be able to start a grassroots movement or something like that to improve the RS community.
Okay, then.
All right, let's move on to questions, something I've wanted to do for a couple of weeks now.
Yes, it was really a short update this week, just a couple games here and there.
Yep, so we got three audio questions this week. The first one is from Keys.
As it's Keys, I was wondering, how did you Dungeoneer? Like, did you use Skype to talk to other people while you did it, or did you just type? And what do you think about quest guides, like when you're going through a quest and using a guide, or do you prefer to do it without a guide? Thanks for answering the questions, guys.
All right, Shane, you want me to answer the dungeon one, or you?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Usually when I go dungeon, unless I'm with Shane and someone else, we'll use Skype, but usually I would just plug it from the Dungeoneering world, so I would just usually type it in. And with the new changes to Dungeoneering, such as, you know, need to have the key, physically have the key in your inventory, it's actually been a lot easier because you're not running around looking for people. So usually I just type in and say, hey, come over here, and I have a guardian door we need to clear. Hey, come over here, we have a lever room that we need to clear and clean up. So far, usually I just type it in because I'm usually just plugging in with other people. Usually it turns out okay. There's been a couple games where I've had people who are completely, completely stupid, and usually we're like, can we get rid of him? Okay. Oh, he's gone. All right.
Okay.
And you want to answer the second one, Shane?
Yeah. What was the question? I forget.
Come on, Shane. Don't you remember?
No.
Well, then play it again.
No, tell me what it was.
No, play it again. It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I you can tell I've been away for a while, but I'm sorry about that, Keys.
Did you just type? And what do you think about quest guides? Like when you're going through a quest,
quest
and
guides.
Using a guide, okay. Or do you prefer to do it without a guide? Thanks for answering the questions, guys.
If it's a simple quest that's short, I won't use a guide. If it's a longish quest, I'll keep a guide up as a companion, but I don't like using guides as if they put me on cruise control, because I feel if I do that, it takes away from the story and experiencing the quest. So I'll just keep the quest guide as a bullet point list of what I need to do. I won't like read it point to point. Okay, walk here and do stuff like that. I just like guides that say here's where you go next kind of thing, and then I finish it from there.
Yeah. So usually, same with me. Usually the super easy ones, I don't do it. I think it's an insult to your intelligence if you have to use one. And as it was just like one the long grandmaster, master, maybe intermediate, then I'll have one up, because usually I used to type them up, but then I just got really tired because I had no help whatsoever. Shane knows. And that's when I kind of stopped writing quest guides for the forums, because it was I can't do all of them, because a lot of the older ones I cannot do anyway.
Okay. Yeah, so we're kind of the same on that. I mean, I don't see any problem if you use a full quest guide. Quests are there to do how you want to do, and some people just like to do them for the rewards. Other people like to do them for the story. Personally, I think people need to do quests for the stories rather than rewards, because too many people just do them to get the end result, which really, really annoys me.
Yes. Do you read every single text box that come up, or try to read them?
Try, yes, but sometimes not.
Mm-hmm. I usually try to read them.
I find it really
them.
Helps, though, with voiceover.
The only one where I did not read every single box was One Small Favor, because that was as you know, it's my most hated quest. That One Small Favor took forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Alrighty then. So, next up is from Zach Glenn.
Alrighty, questions for RSBNB Update 371. My first question is how do you guys manage the dust around your computer area, your workspace, whatever you want to call it? Just overall, how do you manage the dust? Do you have any special techniques to keep the dust away? Tips for I and the forum? And feel free to elaborate on that question. My second question is, going through school, I obtain a lot of spiral notebooks and everything, and sometimes they're all used up, sometimes they're not. Overall, my question is, what do you guys do with all your notebooks from classes? Do you save them? I know I save mine just in case I need them for a future class. But, where do you guys put them? What do you do with them? Do you organize them? Do you rip out the pages and put them in a 3-ring binder? Feel free to elaborate on that as well. Any tips on organization and everything, that'd be cool too. And those are my two questions for this RSBNB update episode. And this is Zach, in-game. I'm on birthday. And a happy on birthday to all y'all. Thank you.
Happy unbirthday all right. to all of y'all.
Yeah, I don't get what that means. Do you?
Don't celebrate people's birthday.
Okay, I don't know, but.
All right. So, how do you manage the dust around your computer work area, Shane?
It doesn't get very dusty, but typically, the best thing to do is just get a damp cloth and wipe down the surfaces. Depending on your screen, you might just want to use a damp cloth as well, and no cleaning solution on that. That's just a good way of cleaning that up. And you know, I just run my finger along the top of it every day, and that will remove a minor amount of dust. That's perfectly fine for that. But inside the actual computers, if you're lucky enough to have a case that has an air filter on it, I find that helps a lot. But if you don't, every couple months you really should open up that computer and use some compressed air and blow the dust off the fans and heat sinks, because if you're letting your computer get all dusty like that, it's not good for the heat, and ultimately that's not good for the health of your chips in there.
Mm-hmm. I use a microfiber cloth, okay. Make it wet, and just wipe everything down every once in a while. Compress air for the computer tower, open it up outside. Open the windows every
yes,
day.
Yes, yes, that's true. Forgot about mentioning that. Do the compressed air thing outside.
Yes, you won't be surprised how much dust will be accumulates in there.
Yes.
And, if you're really short on time, just grab a vacuum with a hose.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to use a vacuum to touch any of your components, and that's a big no-no.
You worry about the static?
Yeah, and just because it's not a precise instrument, so you could end up hurting something. But notebooks.
I usually toss them.
Yeah, same. In the last couple of years that I was in school, had a laptop. So for non-mathy notes, that was a really great way of storing things, because you never run out of space and you just keep them. And I can type faster than I can write, so that worked out well for that. But you know, typically don't keep those books unless you need them for something that you wrote down. Because, I don't know, I always found that the textbook was more reliable than the notes that given in some classes based on what I had. So,
Usually I toss them after the end of the year. Usually by the end of the year, you don't really need it anymore. Yeah. Either know all the stuff or it's gone by the end of the next semester anyway. Mostly, you know, like GE courses, either you know it. You know, it's like the old saying, use it or lose it.
Yep.
Most of the stuff you learn in college, mostly the general education stuff, you're never going to use again. So usually that stuff just ends up being in the garbage. Unless my notebook has lots of space left, I'll usually tear out the ones I've written on and just give it to Ben and them to write and draw and do whatever they want.
Okay.
They usually like that. Emily used to love grabbing my notebooks and drawing all over it.
All right. Next up, RR Man 100.
This is RSBMB Update Questions recorded July. RSBMB. It's me, RR Man 100 here, with a couple of quick questions. Okay, so I think I've asked this one in the past, but how many views, or sorry, I should say downloads, does the show get each week to the nearest maybe 100? So, I don't know, 10,100, 9,100, you know. Secondly, what's your favorite season? I've always liked winter because I've always found it's easier to get warm than it is to cool down. Maybe that's different in Canada. Probably is, because I've heard it's freezing. But yeah, what's your favorite season? Also, if you don't mind, want to toss in a quick plug here. I've made a YouTube channel. It's called Buy, Wait, Rent. Just search that up. It's quick game reviews. It'd be really great if you could get some of your fans to subscribe or like or comment on my videos. Thanks, Shane. Peace out.
All right. So with regards to downloads of the podcast, it's not a number that we share publicly, but I can tell you that it is a significant amount. I think it's on average, it's in the thousands at least per month. That is what I will say for this. I don't want to give an exact number, but it is in the thousands per month per episode.
All right, and so Shane, what's your favorite season? Winter.
Ah, winter.
Just like him, because you're cold-hearted.
Well, no, it's just because I just don't like. I just prefer the winter because we get snow and everything like that.
What about fall is usually my favorite season because usually for San Francisco, that's usually our summer. It never gets hotter until August or September, and it doesn't start raining until around November, mid-November to early December. So usually fall is relatively the hottest time of the year. Is that interestingly enough?
Okay. Yeah, and you know, it's just that summer is very short here, and I just prefer what you can do in the winter instead, and you don't have to worry about bugs and any annoying stuff or whether or not it's too hot. And, you know, winter, it's just, you just have the frozenness of snow, and snow is nice to look at.
There's no snow here.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate for you.
All we have is rain and the tides.
Yeah, and fog, I imagine, too.
Lots of fog. It was foggy the other day.
Is it by law required for you guys to own a foghorn?
No, we do not own a foghorn.
Okay. All right, then.
Okay. Let's see what we got. So now we move on to regular text questions.
/buy, wait, rent. Head on over as he requested there.
So say that again.
YouTube.com/buy, wait, rent. It looks to be a gaming reviews channel for whether or not you should buy the game, wait for it, or rent it. You know, I don't know if you can rent games around here anymore since Blockbuster is gone. I don't know where you do that around here.
There's that online one, GameFly, where it's online,
yeah, but I mean
online
console games.
Video game rental company here.
Do they rent
I believe it works
games?
In Canada as well.
Do they rent console games like Xbox and PS3?
Yes. Mostly console-based. I don't think they do very much PC since you know how easy it is to copy PC
yeah,
disk.
That's true.
But
yep.
And again, so could you do with consoles if you think about it. It's not that much different.
Yep. Okay, let's move on to text questions now. You want to read the first one?
All right, this one is from Kaipei. Welcome back, Shane. I hope you had a good time away. I'm at the age where my friends are going off to parties and drinking. Personally, I don't really want to get really drunk and do stupid things. One of my friends shaved his head at a party. Usually when my friends go to a party, I stay home and play RuneScape. They give me a hard time for actually playing RS because their perception of what RS used to be does give them a hard time for playing RS while they are getting drunk. is there something wrong with me staying at home on weekends and playing RuneScape instead of going to the parties? Do people in your real life think that you're weird for playing RS because of what it used to be? By the way, my friends are 15, 16, so it is under age drinking. Please shed some light on this question. Oh, and thank you, and bring Uncle Dano as a co-host more often. Grandpa RuneScaper, get that through your head first. Okay, I think I've used that joke way too much now. All right, so Shane, friends getting drunk, underage drinking. Should we call the police?
I don't know. I don't think the police would do anything about that. But I completely agree with your Kapai that you really should do what you feel like doing, and you really should not be taking part in underage drinking. So I see absolutely nothing wrong with playing RuneScape. And as I've said before, if you're playing RuneScape and your friends don't approve of it, why are they your friends? Isn't whoever a friend is somebody who you feel like you identify with? So if they're gonna laugh at you for doing this, or they're gonna give you a hard time, what's the point? Right? Why hide the fact that you play RS?
Mm.
And the perception that it's not how it used to be before, that is entirely true. Trekkie, I know you and I were with our BGA fleet, and then I was saying, "Oh, it's a browser game. It's a browser game." When in reality, it actually uses all of your hardware that you used before. So, I mean, it's not. People need to get their perceptions straight about what it is, and it's a perfectly legit game the same way that World of Warcraft is. So, I mean, it's a matter if you want to be friends with these people. And personally, I don't agree with underage drinking, and you should just stay home like you're doing.
You know, keep in mind, you don't want to do something stupid like shave your head. And as you know, it's no secret on Facebook that the first one who passes out from getting too drunk is the one that gets plastered onto Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, anything else, any other social media that people still use now, Shane. So if you want to be infamous, go right ahead and drink. But if you want to, you know, let your parents know where exactly where you are, stay home and play RS.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is that you and I both never did this as we were growing up, eh?
No, family history, I cannot drink. It's no secret.
Yeah, and that's the same thing here, too. So I just avoid it, and I prefer that my friends do as well, and the vast majority of them do, so.
Let's see. What was the other part of his question?
Oh, and 15 and 16 is pretty young, so you might want to, inform their parents or something, because unless, of course, that's socially acceptable there, which I don't think it is. We might have to ask Brad about that. But definitely 15, 16 is too young.
I think, well, I can't remember which country was it. I think there was one country that had a drinking age of like 14 or something, some Eastern European country.
Oh, well, that's understandable then, Eastern European.
Yes. Yes, the super, super liberal ones. Oh, Shane, you know, lift there, lighten up.
Okay. And yes, I am very proud of what Uncle Dano did. He did a good job.
But you didn't listen to him yet.
I know, but I know he would do a good job.
much faith you have in him.
Yep. All right, next up, One Stone Pwn. Greeting, hosting individuals. A quick question regarding skills. Do you believe that every skill should have choices when it comes to focus, time, and investment? For example, I use training combat. It's possible to train very efficiently if you pay a lot of attention somewhere like the Dagonoth Sentinels. You can train somewhere like the Armored Zombies where you can basically take a nap. Or you can train something like Slayer that's slower and requires attention, but makes a decent amount of money, or a smaller loss in viable skills. There are a lot of skills that have one or two of these choices, but very few offer all three. Jax does seem to be improving or seem to be moving in the direction of offering more choices with the release of things like Runespan and Bonfires. If you like this idea, what else do you think would you add? If not, why?
Well, I know you very much want to completely overhaul the smithing skill.
Yeah, I do. But I wouldn't change the mechanic of smithing because smithing has been like that since RuneScape came out, and it would just be plain stupid to change something like that. Just like it was plain stupid to make a runecrafting method that doesn't involve making actual runes. See, that is the one thing I hate about RuneSpan, is that it's not classic runecrafting. And the point, if everybody goes back to when Andrew Gower was first interviewed about RuneScape 2 versus RuneScape Classic, RuneScape 2 is a lot quicker. RuneScape was never designed to be a game that you would max out skills in a week. Like construction and thieving and a whole sleuth of other ones can be done. So if you look back at RuneScape Classic, it was designed to be slow. And personally, if I was calling shots as to what kind of updates came out, more of these skills would be made slow, but I would also make them more interesting by providing more in-depth activities to do. You know, kind of the way, same way that Dungeoneering works, now that I think about it, you know? I like the way Dungeoneering works.
Why is that?
Well, just because it's not something you can grind. It's something that that is more involved, and you actually have to take a specific path to get there and experience along the way. You can't just sit there and take a nap, like you said. That's what I like about Dungeoneering.
Well, you haven't done Dungeoneering forever. Dungeoneering.
Well, I'd like to go, but we can never get the group together.
Let's plug it.
No, that's the thing. I don't like dealing with these people. That is the problem with Dungeoneering. But yes, so there's my thoughts. What do you think?
I would really like to, well, one thing I would really like to see added to the game is, well, I'll just go with you. I would like to do some more with smithing. I never really trained smithing because only time I really trained smithing is through lamps. It's through lamps because I don't want to deal with it. Maybe a better way to train prayer, because right now, is really just pick up bones, grind them, and pray, and you get all these ectotoins that you can't use because there's no point in using them afterwards, so you're stuck having a giant pile of them.
So you're saying that you should, that more of these kind of oddball training methods should be added then that are different than the main skill?
Well, maybe improved on it. Like, you know, maybe have the Ectos give you bonus prayer points every once in a while. You can trade those in. Something to use up those things, you know, makes the Ecto tokens a little, you know, more worthwhile than just going into someone's home.
Yeah. That makes sense, because, you know, that's the problem with these updates is that they displace one another. So the houses came out that displaced, or no, the Ecto came out that displaced Barry, and the houses came out that displaced Ecto. So I see what you mean there, and I agree with that. All the skill methods should have their own benefit to be used, but people just go based on XP. So there needs to be some other kind of benefit, I think, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we covered that one.
Shall we move on to the next one then? A little tired. Sorry, Shim, a little tired. Next question is from Poison Nova. Howdy, host. Why do you think so many players seem to hate the farming skill? And Trekkie, which training method do you use for 99 crafting? Oh, I've got to say this all over again, don't I?
Yeah, let me just tell you how to train farming first off here. A couple months back, we did a farming focus, and we discussed all of the farming training methods that you can use, and that is still entirely valid. So I highly recommend you go back into our focus archive and find the RSBNB update farming focus. But people just hate the farming skill because they don't understand it. Once you understand farming, you love the skill. So it's just a matter of getting people to understand it and bringing that change to RuneScape, much like our past article from Riddicidal said, where we just need to change people's perceptions of things. And It's mainly because people don't understand. So that's why people don't like farming.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't hate farming. I'm just lazy to go around.
And maybe that's the problem. Maybe they could improve a bit on that. But for me, that's a part of farming that I really like, going around to all the patches and everything.
I think you should put in another one somewhere just to make it 5. It could probably speed up farming a little bit.
What do you mean, 5?
5 farming patches? Crops?
There are 5. Oh, you mean 5 allotment patches. I see.
Yes.
I see.
Like a 5th one somewhere in on RS. Something where, like, well, it's still easy to teleport to, but it's out of the way of every other place.
Yeah, and that's a problem. We need more land masses to do that, because we got... you know, but that's too close to the Ardoyan and Catherby patches.
Do it like Shiloh Village or something.
Maybe. The whole point. Another thing I'd like to see with farming is location-based, so that you can only grow certain crops in locations, because it doesn't make sense that you can grow a palm tree in Varrock.
You know? Okay.
That's something I'd like to see. I'd also like to see, aside from the other farming patch, of course, would be the ability to have other crops. Like, we're missing lots of vegetables. Like, where's our carrots and lettuce and stuff? Like, I want to make a good soup. And where's our tomatoes?
Ooh, yeah. No, it'd be great. It's really, you start growing peppers and stuff. You know, if you really think about the food-wise and RS, it's very fish-based. And there's no flavoring in any of these.
Like, why couldn't you make a bowl of spicy tomato soup or something and have that heal 220 life points?
It's called curry.
Well, no, I mean, that's so boring, though. You could also have it give other benefits aside from healing life points, too. So that would be the benefit of cooking from farming.
Yes, and so if you get some, you know, put some pepper on your fish, you end up your awareness gets better, but it clears up all your sinuses.
Yeah, there you go. Good idea.
So that's what wasabi does for you. It's if you eat just wasabi by itself, it'll clear up your nose so fast. It hurts like crazy, but your nose clears up like that. You'll breathe just fine. Just take a small spoonful.
Okay.
Yes, that's a tricky medical tip of the day.
Well, all right. Thank you, Poison Nova. Trekkie needs to talk about crafting now.
All right, Shane, you know my crafting method. You want to tell them?
Yeah, he did the cheapest method possible, gold bracelets.
Hey, I made money off of those.
Of course you do, because you can trade them into the rogue, right?
Yes. So, once again, I was looking through it. I was like, you know, in theory, I don't want to do the battle staff because I don't want it to be very GE dependent. Be dependent on how much I can get from every day, day to day.
Yeah.
So what I did was, you know, I looked it up. I was like, you know, I can actually make a lot more money just by doing bracelets. And, you know, it's AFKable because I know a couple spots. I know Nine It's Not, it's actually very close to a left clickable bank. And I can literally just stand there all day and do what I need to.
Isn't the furnace left clickable there too?
Which one?
Isn't the furnace there left clickable too?
Yeah, but you have to use the gold bar on it first before it will actually make the bracelet. Small tidbit, but I did gold bracelet because it was, you know, gold bar is cheap. It's cheap, and everybody after make them into bars wants to get rid of them. So I bought them for dirt cheap. And then after looking around, I found out that gold bracelets, you know, have a standard price of 220 gold per bracelet. That will not go up or down. It's that's the
and
same price.
Is that from
price.
Selling to the rogue or?
Yes, that is from selling straight to the rogue, not to the GE. Although I made more money selling them to the GE because people like to use them to high elk. I usually sell my gold bracelets for when I get around 10k of them, and I sell them for around 230 each. So if you think about it, I made a 130% profit off of every single gold bar that I bought.
That's pretty good.
Yes, and after a while, a couple of my other friends was like, you know, you should try going for Glorious. If you get them at the right price, it can be very, very profitable, and that's what I did. I did that with gold bracelets all the way to 99 crafting. Glory is still...
Don't you see... I'd like a method like that for smithing.
no comprende. Every smithing item goes down.
Yep.
Which, no, it's really sad because, you know, it's becoming a gold transfer skill. And you'll never make money from lots of smithing unless you get every little thing yourself, which I think you've got every little thing yourself.
And that's why it needs to be rebalanced.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are we finished with this one from Poison Nova?
Yes. Shane, please save this little segment of mine because I don't want to be telling myself selling this method again within 3 weeks.
Well, we'll just cite them back to episode 371 then. And another thing for people who, if we tell you to go back to a certain episode or something, there's a search feature on update.rsbmb.com. All of our notes are on the website. So what you can do is you just enter in the search term and you say, for instance, you say crafting, and chances are, like if you say training method crafting, chances are in a while this episode will come up for that because it's all indexed. All right, and our last question is from Flash. Dear hosts, I have a couple of questions relating to farming. My farming level is 79, but my herbs seem to be dying pretty often. I plant snapdragons, if that makes any difference. Nope. I use super compost too. Every run or two, I get dead herbs. Sometimes multiple herbs die in one run. My questions are, is there any way to increase the survival rate besides using super compost, or does the chance of death decrease if you get a higher farming level? You know, it's a dice roll. I am level 99 and have been for ages. I have almost 40 million XP. I still get herb runs where I can get 3 dying at a time. Your best option is to just use super compost. There's really not much you can do aside from that. As we mentioned before, the Green Fingers aura doesn't do much for you. So, yeah, there's not much you can do about that. I find that the average herb you get per run over a long amount of time is about 7 or so. So keep that in mind when you're doing cost calculations. But if you're planting any kind of herb seed that is super expensive that you don't want dying, plant it up at Trollheim. Everything else that you don't care if it dies, just plant it other places. And whatever you do, please don't stand at your herb patch watching the thing to make sure it dies. That really annoys me when I see people doing that.
And you know, you can always set yourself a little timer, like to go back there every, I don't know, hour or so, just to double check on them. And if you have crops growing in that,
you want to do 45 minutes for herbs.
Oh, I just made a little more up there. Anyway, but you can also, if you're planting herbs, you can always go and you know, grow your other vegetables and whatnot as you're checking on your herbs.
Yeah. You know. Of course. You, of course, throw the other allotments and everything. But, you know, that's just the way it goes, unfortunately. So, let's see. What's the Snapdragon worth these days? I haven't checked herb prices in a while. Snapdragon. Snapdragon seed, 23K. Okay, that is a fairly large investment, but it's gone down. So...
And the herbs, if you get a good amount, are still very profitable.
Yeah, they are, based on this. So, Snapdragon's good. Anyways. Thank you, Flash. Now, as a reminder to everybody, like R.R. Matt Kapow and Zach Glenn did, you can send in audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just add the username rsbnbupdate. Tech news.
Oh, Shane's favorite section of the podcast. And oh, so much tech news this week for you, isn't there? So much great news
for
you.
No, not really. Not really. It's an average week. Nothing that big. But first off, if you try to comment on YouTube, you'll be prompted to change your username to your real name.
Why?
So Google wants you to use your real name on YouTube when you're commenting.
When I'm commenting, no thank you. I don't need...
The reason they're doing this is because Google Plus has a real name policy, so if you're on Google Plus, you need to use your real name. So basically they're saying that anything you do on YouTube is, of course, related to your Google account, which in turn is then related to your Google Plus account. So that just means that you're just using your Google Plus profile everywhere you are on your YouTube account. And, you know, I don't see the issue with this. If you're on Google Plus, it's already out in the open. So who really cares? And, you know, this is a good thing for... I think on YouTube, I've always said the internet needs a real name policy, and that's one of the things I liked about Google Plus is that you can't have Fishkiller 999 commenting, and you'll actually know who it is because they have to have a Google account like this. And almost everybody now has a Gmail account, don't they? And
almost.
They enter their real name on that. So I'm happy about this, but of course the privacy nuts are not happy about this. But they even have a button that says you don't want to use your real name, so I'm not sure what that would what that would mean with that. Let's see if I try and comment on a video. Let's see what we got here. Let's go to my history, find a video that I last looked at. Okay. Oops. Anyways, never mind. We'll try that later. But what do you think? Do you think having real names is a good thing?
On YouTube? Not really, because, it depends. It will actually decrease the number of stupid posts that's on there. After all, you do know that people do like to troll on YouTube. And the problem with that, though, is that you may get people like certain groups who would exploit your real name information and do stupid things with you. And I remember a couple weeks ago, there was a guy who posted a picture of him standing on two boxes of lettuce at Burger King. They, within 15 minutes, they knew who it was and where it was and the numbers to the store. So if they could get that from a picture, think what they can do with your real name when you're trying to troll somebody that knows computers 10 times more better than you.
Mm-hmm. So
it's one-sided dagger. You can have one side that, it's great because it may stop people from posting really stupid comments all the time, because if I know your real name, I can do a whole bunch of stupid,
yep,
crazy things,
exactly,
to you. But then there's the other
and
point.
And it's also worth noting that this is not mandatory.
Right.
So, but they have options like my channel is for a show or character, a music artist or group. My channel is for a product. My name is well known for other reasons. My channel is for personal use, but I cannot use my real name. I'm not sure. I'll decide later. So, and I just tested making a comment, and I don't have my real name added onto it, or it didn't give an option. So this must still be rolling out. But nonetheless, I think it's interesting that Google wants to do this. I think there's no harm in doing it because it just makes the internet more social and more personal. What do you think about that statement?
You can choose to put it in or not. So again, it's a knife. It's a knife's edge.
Yeah.
It could be good, could be bad. It's up to the community, to decide what they want to do with it.
Yep. So don't get scared if it asks you for your real name on YouTube. Mm. All right.
What if I get them?
Mountain Lion was
released.
Oh,
God.
What? You don't even know what I'm going to say about it yet.
All right. Let's go.
Well, I installed Mountain Lion the other day when it came out. I am impressed in some areas and not impressed in other areas. I am very happy that it was only a $20 upgrade. I am happy that they have further refined the OS in terms of little graphical things here and there, like the dock. And another thing I'm really happy about is Notification Center that we get a notification center, and we don't need to use a third-party utility now. That's great. Another thing that I'm happy about is the way that they have added voice dictation into Mountain Lion. Yeah, so essentially you can just talk into a microphone, and then you hit the button, and it will hopefully get everything that you're saying right. So let's see what this said there. Working. It's uploading. It uploads it to the servers the same way that Siri does. So that's to be expected. That's going to take a while with a larger file. Maybe.
I'll be laughing if it just says Shane stinks.
Well, you know, it had some problems with getting my name right the other day.
Yes, I remember you were sharing that last night with me and Kula. It was funny what was happening. It completely butchered your sentence.
Yeah, it thought that my name was something else that was not actually what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It started with SH, so that's and it was a derogatory word. All right, test 1, 2, 3, Mountain Lion. You know, it's funny that I can't get this to work when I want to do this and see what it comes out as, you know?
That's normal. It's called when you know, Murphy's Law.
Yeah, when you try and demo something, whoops. So, anyways. Yeah,
just like Windows Surface.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, on the surface, it may look pretty, but underneath, it's still Windows.
You know what? That's a very good analogy. So I'm glad you did that.
Yes, that was copyrighted by me. If you're gonna use it, please put my reference in. that's a tricky original.
Right. Okay, one more try. Will you work? There you go. That came out as okay. One more try when you work. My name is Shane, and I am recording RSBNB Update. Hello. Okay, that one didn't work. But any case, that's another little fun thing to play with when you're using Mountain Lion. But some of the other things that are kind of strange, for example, if you go and open up the new Safari, there's this feature that allows you to access cloud tabs on your other iOS devices, and that doesn't exist yet until iOS 6. It only works for other Macs, but I don't know how many people have multiple Macs. Most people have a Mac and an iPhone or an iPad, so I mean, it just doesn't make sense with that. And some of the other UI decisions made with their iCloud interfaces for opening documents compared to saving documents is just bad. So hopefully we'll see that gets fixed in 10.9. I'm not confident it'll get fixed in 10.8.1. But I don't know. Overall, I'm happy with it. It's a incremental upgrade on Lion, just like Leopard to Snow Leopard, Lion to Mountain Lion. Not much to be expected with it. So,
giggity.
Anyways, that's Mountain Lion for the week.
All right.
My name is Shane, and I'm recording RSBNB Update.
And it's not working.
Yeah, it's not working. Jeez, eh? It was working last night. I swear
yes,
it was.
Yes, it was. It was working last night. Not tonight. Try it on Skype. It will work. Who knows?
I did. All right. So next piece of tech news for the week is Google Fiber. So what this is Google is essentially releasing what would be a TV service and an ISP service, and it's basically Google's answer to replacing Comcast and all your other providers down there in the U.S. So Kansas City is getting a full launch. Includes Fiber TV, which is a real TV service with, of course, all the channels that you'll know. So like apparently stuff like PBS, CW, NBC. So
basically, it's all Viacom channels with some Fox and
all the real
NBC,
channels that you get with any
NBC and all that stuff.
Kind of TV. You'll also get Netflix and YouTube results thrown in your DVR. And you can store as many as 500 shows in 1080p HD, and several TVs at the home can use the same box at the same time. And, of course, this is using Google's 1 gigabit per second fiber optic internet. And it comes with 1 terabyte of Google Drive space, but it's not cheap. There's a $300 construction fee for a home that wants to get this Google Fiber service, and it includes the Gigabit Plus TV package for $120 a month. If you don't want the traditional TV, it only costs $70 a month. But if you're a local resident and you just want to pay the construction fee, you can get a free 5 megabit per second internet service.
Is that fast?
Not particularly. It's moderately fast. It's not slow, but it's not super fast like our connections are nowadays. So overall, it's
well, it's experimental.
It's interesting that Google is doing this. Yeah, Kansas City is the first place, but I imagine Google will want to roll this out in other cities as well, unless they get somehow shut down or decide it's not financially feasible, because they want their own network and they essentially want to be your gateway to the internet, it seems like, with this. And it makes sense to have a TV service. Be nice if we had something like that here.
Well, you know, they're doing this only in Kansas City because they want to use that as a pilot program, see what works and what does not
exactly.
work. Yeah,
exactly. But, I mean, $300 and $120 a month for a gigabit internet service, that's pretty good. Our cable bill here is definitely over that amount, and we only get 25 megabits per second down. Mm-hmm.
Imagine all the stuff you could download off of it.
Yeah, it'd be pretty nice. So, anyways, if you're in Kansas City, we would like to live there.
Yeah, if you do live in Kansas City, tell us how it is on our forums. Maybe if we can start spreading the word around, they'll start adding it in other big cities, and soon enough, it'll take over the world.
I imagine San Francisco would be shortly after Google's home of
They can't.
Whatever Google's.
Will you remember a couple years ago when they said that we may be getting free citywide internet in San Francisco with Earthlink? Didn't go through. We could not reach an agreement with them, and it got canned. So I don't see us doing that anytime soon.
Oh, okay. All right then.
Would be nice, but it's not going to happen. Besides, we have the high-speed rail system to pay for, right? Which probably get done in about 300 years, considering how slow construction government jobs are.
Anyways, moving on. Scale of the month update. How does this look compared to the last 2 weeks?
Let me get into it first. It plateaued at the top. I guess he finally figured out he won. As you can see, it was going up really, really high, and then it's like, all right, I'm done. We're done.
Yeah, J-Bob Man is currently in first place with roughly 12.9 million experience gained, average XP of about 500,000 a day. Second place is Piranasius with 5.3 million XP gained. And third place is One Stone Pwn with 1.9 million XP gained. So you can see it kind of drops off substantially there.
Yes, you should just get 13 million even.
Yeah, he should. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? And he wouldn't have to do any more because he's not going to get caught in the next few days. I should just make the trophy now and give it to him.
Actually, you think about it, we do that every month.
Yeah, but you know, it's been a while since we had like a nail biter skill of the month. We need more of those, I think.
All right, so you want to talk about the next August skill of the month?
Well, we don't know what the August skill of the month is yet, do we?
Yes, it is. Look up.
Oh, what is it?
The skill of the month for August 2012 is
Fishing.
Fishing. Yes.
Are you entering?
What?
Are you entering?
No.
Oh, okay.
Got no time.
I totally forgot that the August Skill of the Month had been chosen. So, fishing, you can sign up on the rsbnb.com/skotm page.
Yeah, so get your feathers ready. Get your fishing lures ready.
Tackle
and
box.
Get your hooks and bait ready and go fishing. Get some
that should be a fun one to watch. The primary skills are always fun to watch because it's always a battle of endurance. Who can do the most?
Okay, then.
All right. Achievements of the week. We got three of them this week. First one, Touchpad Pro, 99 prayer on the 23rd. Congratulations.
We have Shimeria 760, who got 99 magic on July 22nd. And he also got 99 smithing on July 22nd.
Nice. A double achievement. Good job, everyone.
You think he superheated a gold bar?
Oh, maybe. That would be a good way of doing it.
Could be.
Good. Alrighty. All right. Pick of the week time.
Shane's second favorite thing, actually just this week's biggest favorite, because he got something that is very, very dear to his heart.
What are you talking about?
Which side are you on?
What are you talking about?
Your pick of the week this week is very political.
Okay, you knew what it was. We don't put much weight in this because some people haven't had it the right way for what they feel. So, but anyways, it's interesting to see nonetheless. It's a little website called isidewith.com. It's you answer a series of questions, and it gives you a matrix back of which current political candidate for the U.S. election that you most likely agree with the most, and who you don't agree with too, which is nice.
Mm.
So, for instance, mine says that for the most part, I agree 91% with Mitt Romney, 70% with Ron Paul, 57% with Gary Johnson, and 30% with Obama. Then you can, of course, drill down into the issues. So pick an issue: immigration, foreign policy, science, environment, social, healthcare, domestic policy. Pick one.
Go with immigration then.
All right, immigration. So, for instance, it says you side with immigration on with McMillan, Paul, and Romney. Should illegal immigrants be granted citizenship? No. And someone else had a similar answer that all illegal immigrants should be deported, which isn't what I agreed with. Then, of course, you do not side with immigration issues on people including Stein, Alexander, Johnson, and Obama. So it shows you who you agree with and who you don't on them. And it's interesting to see, but it's nothing that I didn't know beforehand. And it's probably most beneficial to someone who doesn't know who the candidates are. And it's a good way to learn who the candidates are too. So I recommend you have a look at it. And what did you get? Tell us what you got for yours.
I got Obama.
Okay.
That's no surprise,
of course
is it?
You did.
I'm from California.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to share these direct results with people because I think people might get scared, but yeah, definitely interesting to see.
No one would get scared, Shane.
Why? You would.
I already know you already showed me before, remember?
Yeah. Exactly.
Show me your results already.
So anyways, that's isidewith.com. Head on over and take the test if you want, or just learn a bit about the candidates there.
All right. Let's see. What
have we
been
up to?
Pick the first option of every single one. I'm going to see what would happen.
I don't know what the... Okay, try it.
Have everything as, you know, somewhat important, be middle ground, everything. Yeah, should U.S. increase our space budget? Yes. Should we kill everything? Yes. Should we support NATO? Yes. Theory of evolution? Yes. Get rid of immigrants? Yes. All right, let's see. I am. It's going. And if I do every single one, I get Jill Stein. I have no idea who she is.
The Green Party.
Oh, okay, there we go. So 88% with her, 80% with Obama, and let's see, 30. I get like 13% with Ron Paul.
So it's a liberally slanted test then.
Sure, why not?
So you have to have your head about you if you want to get an accurate result then.
Well, that's why I just pay yes to everything just to see what would happen.
Yeah. Anyways, so what have you been up to?
Oh, this week I actually finally got 95 magic. So finally got 95 magic. I did some dungeon run with Burn because he invited me. So I did some dungeon runs with him and did my Citadel, and that was pretty much it. So I was happy with my 95 magic. Now I can do Fire Surge.
Oh yeah, Fire Surge is a good spell to have even for the Glacers, you know?
Uh-huh.
As for me this week, I did not much on RS still. Haven't got back to it yet, but I did check out the games and what was I doing before? I checked some other update out that came out while I was gone. I forget which one. But aside from that, I've been doing a fair amount of programming. You know, Mountain Lion came out, and I was under the impression that the Stickies application was going to be going away in Mountain Lion, so I made my own beforehand. But of course, the Stickies application is still here, so that's a little bit disappointing, but I'm happy with what I got because my Stickies application looks a lot better than the default Stickies from that came out back in 2004 with Tiger. So I built one of those, and I'm currently in the process of building a little web demonstration using CSS and JavaScript. And before that, last week I was away for a couple of days in the mountains here in Alberta. And the week before that was primarily, I think, a programming and Star Trek Online week.
Hmm. So
that's what I did these past couple of weeks.
It's been a very STO couple of weekends, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we got the new fleet system there and everything, and you know it's like the Clan Citadel's on RS.
Yes, but worse.
Yeah, you think so?
We had to pay money to get more ships. It's not fair. We spent so much time trying to get it up.
Well, why are you paying? You're cheap. You should be letting me get ahead of you in the leaderboard.
Because I care about other people, Shane.
All right. Yeah, so I've had a very productive few weeks. I mean, one application written and ready to go. Lots of other ideas about stuff I want to do / need to do. Ideas for RSB&B-related things. Ideas for what we're going to do with the show. We're going to be making some changes to the show format in August. I don't exactly know what all these changes will be called yet, but we'll be going to a more kind of commentary / pundit kind of thing regarding RuneScape news, because let's face it, you guys can read the RS updates on your own. You don't need us to tell you that a quest came out and the Galenar games came out, right? So we're going to put some thought into what we can do with that. We'll be rolling those changes out through August.
Uh-huh.
But that's all I got. So I think we're done for this week.
Yeah. So, well, one other little thing. We're still looking for new topics for the focus. If you want us to do a focus topic, let us know. Send us a PM or a suggestion. And,
or just fill out the form on the update website.
Yes. And we're still looking for, you know, dungeoneering experts. So if you know somebody that you consider a dungeoneering expert, please let us know. We'll try to get them on the show if they qualify, et cetera, et cetera.
I think we're looking for somebody that has 100-plus dungeoneering, probably.
Yeah, 100-plus, and, you know,
and
maybe
dungeoneers
they
actively.
Do, and maybe they do dungeons every once in a while, and you know they can get it. They know what needs to be done. Yeah,
essentially somebody who can come on for 20 minutes or so and discuss dungeoneering with us. That would be good.
Yes. So, again, more for focus.
Yay! All right, so with that being said, we'll see you all next week. Have a good week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all. Happy Olympic Games.
We'll be right back.